headset here. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
You just found the very best and original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Plug in the cable and program the TiVo as Backtime takes a look at some of the TV premieres that happened on September 8th. The first red-shirted crewman bit the dust in the first ever episode of Star Trek, which aired on NBC in 1966. Had she known what would happen 20 years later, she would have purchased a sturdier couch. The Oprah Winfrey Show broadcast episode number one in 1986. And the first time we ever saw a unisex bathroom was probably in 1997. That's when the show that made them popular, Ally McBeal, debuted on Fox. That's Back Time for September 8th. This is your announcer speaking.
A man on fire calls for increased flame retardant funding. It's the Onion Radio News. I'm Doyle Redland. A man on fire made an impassioned plea today for an increase in funding of flame retardant materials. Mel Carver of San Diego has become an outspoken crusader for fire safety after bursting into flames last week while smoking near a gas line. Carver, now fully engulfed in flames, addressed Congress this morning.
Help me!
Carver, who has third-degree burns and raging, crackling flames over his entire body, hopes to increase awareness of the dangers of being on fire. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
This is John McCain. Recently, some things have come to light about my running mate, Sarah Palin. My friends, I assure you my campaign thoroughly vetted her before we made our announcement. To prove it, I'd like to reveal a few other secrets about Sarah that are bound to come out eventually. She is a 1992 Alaska State Beer Pong Champion. She was a stand-in for Van Halen's Hot for Teacher video in the 80s. She once auditioned for Real Housewives of Juneau. Sarah's middle name is Hussein. She kisses with her nose. And finally, her husband is also pregnant. I hope this speeds things along so that we can get on with the real job at hand, which is reminding all you Hillary supporters that Sarah has the same lady parts as you do. Thank you.
Talk Radio Building. It's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. This is Monday, September 8th, and this is Sam, and Susie's not in yet. I'm not sure where she is. So we'll get the show started and we'll get it rolling. We have a great guest today, and we've got a lot to cover, a lot of things happening over the weekend and so forth, I'm sure. Susie's going to have a lot to tell us. So in the meantime, I just wanted to go over some headlines and stuff. Of course, the MTV Video Music Awards were held last night. And Britney Spears apparently was a big winner. She won for Video of the Year for her song Piece of Me. She's also got the female video for the same song. And then she got the pop video for the same song, Piece of Me. So that was Britney Spears. Also, winners were male video was Chris Brown with his song With You. Rock video was Linkin Park with Shadow of the Day. Hip-hop video, Lil Wayne, Lollipop. And new artist, Tokyo Hotel. So, other than Britney Spears, I don't know anybody here. And but it just shows you how much music has changed over the years. And, you know, actually, I'm thinking of switching over to country, you know, because it seems like that is the only place where you get some decent songs, still old-fashioned songs and stuff. Although, I'm not crazy about country music at all. But, you know, what's the alternative now? There's no good music at all and gets you longing back to the 70s, 80s, 90s. This weekend also we had a couple of new movies. Actually, the only one that really made a big deal was Bangkok Dangerous. And get this, I mean, this is the number one movie, and it made a measly $7.8 million. So, obviously, this was not a busy box office weekend. And then we have a number two, Tropic Thunder, with $7.5 million. The House Bunny, The Dark Knight is still up there at number 4, and we have Traitor wrapping up the top 5. So Susie's here, as you can hear, and
come on, I came in quietly.
Yeah, very. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you today?
Good.
Happy
it's
Monday.
Okay if you got up 5 minutes earlier, then you'd be here on time, right?
You
it's only a matter of 5 minutes.
No, I had to stop and get a bagel today. That was 5 minutes.
I see. You were hungry?
Yes.
I know. You know, I get very hungry in the morning. I just never find time to eat. So I don't eat like till 1 o'clock or something.
Well, it's hard for
only
me.
Only on coffee.
Wait, you don't eat until 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, my. If I did not eat anything before I walked in the studio, Sam, I would like be face first on the floor.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
I eat maybe like, I don't know, five plus small meals a day.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good. That's the way you should be, huh?
I know.
Yeah.
The reason I'm having to eat out every morning and stuff is because, like, half of my dishes are at one house. You know, half of my food is here. The other half is here.
Yeah.
Like, my life is completely, like, split in two right now. So I'm kind of like,
Are you finding some time to actually move some stuff?
Yes.
Really?
I've started getting some things done, which is good.
Yeah.
Bit by bit.
Awesome.
So one house is starting to feel less like home, and one is starting to feel more like home.
Yeah. So have you moved most of the stuff, or you still have
goodness,
a lot?
Oh, goodness, no.
No, you still have a lot of stuff.
I do. Like, my bed and my dresser and, you know, my main furniture is still in my old apartment.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. So the furniture is probably the last to go, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Especially because I have my little Mini Cooper, so, like, putting my bed on top of that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little difficult.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to get those naked guys that do the moving.
They're not naked.
They're not naked.
They're barely clothed.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, well, if that's the case. So you had some guests this weekend?
Yes. I probably had the busiest weekend I think I've ever had in my entire life.
Really?
It was quite awesome.
Really?
Well, let me start off with going back to Friday and saying, fuck you to all of Los Angeles, to the court systems, because do you know how much it is for throwing a cigarette out the window?
I think you mentioned it, didn't you?
Well, I didn't actually
have... Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't go. You hadn't gone yet. Go ahead. How much is it?
I hadn't gone yet. The end fee ended up being $450.
Wow. You see, that's the number I had in mind, and so you must have said it sometime.
Well, someone had told me once upon a time it was about $500, and I didn't believe them. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
I was sitting in court, and I was listening to everyone else's, judgments being passed down. And But so this was actually really embarrassing. I happened to be wearing white pants that day. I had the same ones on in the studio.
Right.
But
you were spreading your legs to our guests
yes,
and everything.
Yes.
I remember the pants.
I wasn't spreading my legs. My hips are just loose. It's
I
not
know,
my fault.
Yeah. I heard that on the replay. excuse me, you had your leg on the fucking, chair. The arm of the chair.
Do I ever seem to be sitting still, Sam? Like, serious. You should see the way I sit in class. I practically have my leg around my neck when I'm sitting there.
But that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Go ahead.
But so anyway, the courtroom, it was packed, absolutely packed, and everyone had to sit next to each other, forcing my legs shut.
Oh, my God.
So there's a point to this because, my legs are now forced shut, sitting in this little, like, bleacher-type area in the courtroom, and I'm waiting there for, like, an hour and a half, like, until I get called up. But it was really hot in there, so I start to sweat, and I'm wearing these white pants, and I had these pink panties on underneath the white pants, and so all of a sudden when the judge calls my name to come up, I stand up, and not only do I have this huge thing of, like, crotch sweat, I have this huge, like, strip of, like, ass sweat totally, like, right down the middle of my pants.
How did you know, though?
I could feel it. It was sopping wet from being forced to have my legs, like, shut the whole way.
Yeah.
For a fucking hour and a half. So I'm trying to stand before the judge, and, like, I try and put my hands in front of my crotch, but that just looks weird. So then the people behind me, that I'd been talking to are, like, laughing because they could see the pink outline
really?
Of my underwear.
They were laughing
through
in the court?
You could tell. It was totally, totally embarrassing and disgusting.
Wow.
So anyway, I tried to, like, argue my case, and I was like, I wasn't throwing a flaming object from a moving vehicle. I had already smoked the entire cigarette, so back off. I was just littering. And the guy was like, do you want a trial date? And I was like, no, I really don't want to come back for this. I just want to get it over with.
Yeah.
So, charge me. I'm guilty. He's like, $500. And I'm like, oh, well, $450.
I don't know if they would buy that, though, that the cigarette was already all smoked, because...
How could they prove that it wasn't?
Well, you can't prove that it was. I mean, that it wasn't.
But they can't prove that it was.
No, but usually when someone finishes a cigarette, it means it's lighted, In other words, if you put it out in the car, you'll probably put it in the ashtray.
No way. It stinks if you leave it in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you smoke it in the car, it doesn't stink, right?
Why keep the windows down and the sunroof open? Whatever. The point is I quit smoking. But here was the worst part. So then on top of it all, there was 10 hours of highway cleanup duty.
Really?
With the $450 fine.
Oh, my God, Susie.
I know. So I'm going to be like in an orange jumpsuit on the side of the freeway.
There you go. Fucking picking up cigarette butts from other people.
But this is the good part about sitting there in the court for an hour and a half. I was eye-fucking the clerk.
You were eye-fucking the clerk.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. I was really bored. You know, the person next to me had really bad breath, so I was trying to ignore him, and I don't know. Mm-hmm. So the clerk was actually kind of cute. And so I just kept eye-fucking him, like, the whole time. And then by the time I actually got up to him, you know, he gives me the paperwork for the fee and everything. And I was like, okay, sir, now where do I go to sign up for my hours to do the cleanup duty? And he winks at me, and he's like, I'm a smoker too, sweetheart. He's like, I'm going to give you a waiver, wink, wink.
Really?
Yes. So I got waived from my cleanup duty.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I was excited about
that. The clerk could do that?
The clerk can do that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll get in hot water if they found out.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
I mean, yeah, based on what? Did he just waive it, you know?
He just wrote waiver on it.
I mean, he fucking overturned what the judge decided.
I know.
Wow.
But in particular with this case, the judge that we had was not the typical judge that was supposed to be at this court. Actually, everyone that was in the courtroom who was having their little thing heard mm-hmm. by the judge had to sign a thing saying that this temporary judge was going to be okay. So this judge kept asking the clerk, like, you know, how much should this fine be? Or what should I do for this case? Like, I don't know what to do.
Really?
So the clerk was pretty much the one making all the decisions anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it was just under the judge's supervision.
Well, good for you. You see, there you go. You came through again, being a beautiful girl and everything. You guys,
apparently not beautiful enough because it's going to cost me $450.
Well, you guys get discounts in life. We know that. So $450.
Yeah.
Now you got to go and work for it.
I know.
Wow, that's a lot of fucking money.
But I will say they give you either 2 weeks to come up with the money mm-hmm. And without having to pay another penalty, or you can have 4 months to pay it for like an extra $30.
Oh, I see.
That's really nice because, you know, I don't have an extra $450 lying around right now.
Yeah, who the fuck does? I mean, for something like this, shit.
And other people, like if they didn't have their registration in the car at the time of being pulled over, that's an $800 ticket.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Really, it's making me like want to get all of my stuff in order.
Yeah, there you go. That's why they do it.
Mm. Scary bastards, I swear.
Yeah. So, who came to visit you this weekend?
My dad family? And his girlfriend and his girlfriend's mom.
Oh, I thought your sister was coming too. No,
no, no. She only gets like one vacation a year.
Oh, so I see.
I wish.
Okay. So she just came to Vegas and she went back.
Yes, back east.
Okay. So, so how did it go?
It actually ended up being a ton of fun. Well, before they even came, by the time they got to see me on Saturday, mm-hmm. they showed up at my house and I was so exhausted because I'd only gotten like 2 hours of sleep Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Because I did one of these critical mass bike rides on Friday,
uh-huh.
In Santa Monica, which is awesome because we just fucked with the police.
Really?
It was the best time I've ever had on a critical mass.
Really?
Yeah, because last year, last month for the Santa Monica critical mass, Santa Monica spent over $3,000 for having a police force, like, watch our bike ride.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And they gave out 9 citations, you know, that end up being like $10 tickets.
Like, very important, huh? That they spend $3,000.
Very important.
Yeah.
So they gave out like $90 worth of tickets, you know, for not having a taillight on your bicycle. Ooh.
Wow.
Like, we're bad
yeah.
people.
Murderers.
Yeah. Or for like rolling through a stop sign on a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Monica police force, you know, they're total assholes, and we just decided to fuck with them because they tell us that we're impeding traffic, but the whole point of these things is that we are traffic, mm-hmm. you know? But so anyway, there were like, I don't know, a few hundred of us. And so at one point we got to this residential area and we've got all the police escorts with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we get to the stop sign and then we decide we're going to go through the stop sign one by one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 4-way stop.
Right.
So one
bicycle. How many of you are
200
there?
Plus. So the cops are freaking out. All the other the cars that are around are beeping. Like hundreds of cars are piling up down the street all the way to Wilshire. And the cops are finally like, just go through the fucking stop sign. Just go. And
really?
We're like, no, officer, because then we'll get a ticket for not stopping at the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
You want to treat us each as an individual vehicle? Well, then fuck you. We're gonna play your game.
Right.
And so we made the cops like go out of their mind.
Right.
They just didn't know what to do with us.
But you were impeding traffic.
No,
by doing that.
No,
did you wait your turn every time?
We waited our turn every single time.
Oh, really? So why did they care?
Because there were 200 of us going one by one by one in like a huge crowd of bicyclists, and the cars think that they're more important than we are.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I still don't understand. Never mind. you know, I mean, if each biker was taking their turn, how are you impeding traffic? I mean, you're just taking your turn, right?
Well, the cops...
Because you said you went one after another, so I thought you weren't giving the cars a break.
No, we were giving the cars a break.
All right.
But the point was, you know, the cops wanted us to go through as one lump of bikers.
Right, okay.
Like one stop per group of bikers. But then, you know, if we roll through a stop sign as like one group without stopping, then they stop and pull us off or pull us off one by one and give us tickets.
They're not going to pull 200 people over.
Oh, trust me. They try. Well, they can't pull 200 over, but but they try and separate the group and then give people tickets that way.
Wow. So why do they say you impede traffic? In what way?
Because we take up a whole lane of traffic if there are over a certain number of us.
Right.
And it's completely legal for bikers to take over a lane of traffic if there are enough of us.
Oh, it is? Even if you're slowing the traffic down behind you?
We are traffic. That's the whole point.
Well, there's bike lanes, and you can also go single file or something, you know. But, you know, it's like, just imagine if there's like a whole street.
You can have three or four bikers abreast.
Right.
And you can't be in the bike lane like that. So, you mean you have to actually, to be safe, go into a car lane.
Right.
And then the cars have to treat you like you are traffic, like they are.
Really?
Yes.
Even if you're going like 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour.
Yes.
Really?
On all those streets, everyone's going 20 miles an hour.
I'd get really pissed. I think you would if you were a driver.
Not at all.
No, because you're a biker also. But I'm telling you, if a bunch of bikers were slowing down the whole traffic, I mean,
we
that
are
is
going
ridiculous.
Faster than the traffic usually.
Oh, well,
the
in
traffic
that case,
is usually
it's
slowing us down.
Okay. So in that case, it's different.
It is. But so anyway, the rest of that night ended up being pretty crazy after the critical mass. I've actually, for the first time in my life, been really scared going into a club.
Really?
Have you ever been to a goth club?
A goth club? No.
Oh,
no, I haven't.
My God. It was the scariest thing
ever. How did you wind up at a goth club?
Well, I didn't know it was going to be a goth club when I was invited to go, mm-hmm. but a group of, like, I don't know, 10 of us with my bicycle crew ended up going, riding our bikes all the way downtown to where this goth club was, and these people, they had sharp, pointy things coming out of their lips and out of their noses and their eyes and all different kinds of piercings and their hair. There were so many mohawks.
Really?
I mean,
did you know you were going to a place like this?
No.
Really?
Oh, no. And the costumes that people were wearing. But the thing was, I can fit into kind of like any crowd, and it was an all-white goth party. So,
really?
You know, I was wearing the white sweaty pants with the swass already.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a black goth, come to think of it? I don't think
no,
I've ever seen
there
one.
Wasn't one.
Yeah.
There wasn't a single
so that's
one.
That's not part of their culture, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
But they were miserable people. Like,
really?
I guess part of their thing is that you can't really smile that much.
Oh, really?
And so the music is like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, my God.
And everyone's kind of, like, headbanging and violently dancing around. Yeah. And then there's me, and I'm like, la-la-la-la-la-la-la. It was like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. I suppose you get drunk and you don't really care what the people are like, huh?
Believe it or not, yeah. I did 2 days sober. I did Thursday and Friday night sober this weekend.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
A feather in your cap. There you
I
go.
I know. I was so proud of myself. It was actually the most interesting feeling in the world being sober, like, all Friday night.
Wow.
I got stoned later on, but that was...
So, but what prompted you not to drink?
I don't know. I just, you know, I didn't start drinking, and then I was like, you know what, I don't really feel like having a drink right now, and, you know, I knew I was going to be doing a really, really, really long bike ride,
mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's exhausting, like, if you're wasted and riding a really long time,
yeah.
And so I just
I don't know how you can do that. Oh,
I'm
man.
A young whippersnapper,
yeah,
what can I say?
Yeah, the things you do. So, was it pretty crowded at that club?
It was. I don't know where these people that came out of the woodwork, like, there were hundreds and hundreds of, like, these gothic people.
Really?
I just imagine them like walking home at the end of the night, and it seemed like they look like vampires.
Yeah. Was there any guys you thought were hot there?
There was this one guy that was dancing, like, he looked kind of like a matador the way he was dancing and like swiveling his hips, but he was totally gay and he had his boyfriend there with him, but I couldn't take my eyes off of him.
Uh-huh.
Just the way he would just swivel and snap and just ooh. I was just watching that pelvis thrust back and forth like, oh my. But then there was also another guy, he kind of reminded me of like some safari person. He had this cap on and he had these like tall black boots, like with his jacket on and his white shirt, and it looked like he should have a magnifying glass as he was like doing this really weird creepy dance.
Yeah,
but I was just kind of fascinated with these people more so than sexually attracted to them.
Yeah.
So we'll just say that.
I know, an interesting subculture, you know.
I
mean, but I was afraid my daughter would go in that direction because it wasn't, she was dressing goth and stuff, but I think there's another term where it's not as extreme as goth, mm-hmm. and like punkish type of a thing.
Yeah.
You know? And they also have piercings and stuff, but it's not as hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was afraid she'd end up like that, but. Thank goodness she's in college now, and let me tell you, Susie, it seems like overnight she has changed. Now she loves talking to me on the phone. She tells me things.
Did I tell you the time would heal these things, and yeah. You just need to give her some time? And
I mean, it didn't take very long, you know? Now she's shopping for clothes for herself and groceries and shit, you know? So she's independent. I'm sure doing her own laundry, you know, so...
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I think we are out of the woods for now.
Speaking of doing your own laundry, how are you doing with the wife out of town?
That's pretty tough. The other night I
called
her. I noticed
your shirt's a little wrinkled.
No, that's,
I'm just kidding.
This is one that she has already cleaned for me. But no, she left everything clean and everything. But I'm going through clothes very fast. So, yeah, I'm starting to worry about this. So,
well, let me give you a little hint. If you run out of underwear, you can turn them inside out and you get another day out of them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, me, the change is underwear 3 times a day, you know.
You do?
Yeah.
3 times a day?
Yeah.
You change your underwear 3 times a day?
Yeah, I like to be clean.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because, you know, you sweat and stuff out there and that, yeah.
That is so funny.
No, yeah, well, you know.
Oh, my God.
No,
okay,
so
never,
I could never wear...
Never mind then.
I could never wear another pair. But, look, I used to do laundry all the time, right, when I was on my own.
You want to do mine?
But now, it's not like... it's not like I don't know. I just don't want to get into it now. I don't have the patience to start folding clothes.
So I don't fold my clothes.
No?
No. Take it out of the dryer and throw it in a pile.
Well, I'm not quite like that, but...
You've got to buy things that are wash and wear that you don't even have to worry about folding or wrinkling.
Yeah, but you still have to fold it.
No, you don't. Shove it in a drawer. It'll be fine.
Well, I do. Even my fucking socks are folded. Are you kidding
bullshit.
Me?
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen me wear socks?
Well, I don't know. I usually don't see your shoes, so I don't pay attention.
It's because I'm usually barefoot over here.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how people can wear shoes without socks, though. I mean, my foot just starts swimming there in sweat and stuff.
Well, maybe you're just a sweaty person.
No, it's not about being sweaty. I mean, okay, do you, if you have an enclosed, like, tennis shoes or something,
mm-hmm.
sneakers, you don't sweat in there?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So don't call me sweat. Although I do sweat. So I didn't know what to do about the laundry. And so I'm thinking there's a couple of options. I can take it to a laundromat. I think there's
ooh, they have wash and fold services.
Yeah, I think. And like by the pound or something.
By the pound,
right?
Yes.
So I'm thinking that's one alternative. The other alternative is my sister-in-law. So
oh,
I called
please.
My wife. I told her, I said, don't say I asked. But just tell her that I'm really, like, having trouble with the laundry. Maybe she'll come and help me.
Oh, you are such a little baby. Oh, my God. I can't believe you.
I know.
You call your wife in Israel to get her sister to come over and do your stinky laundry.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
Well, she owes it
Can
to
I
me.
Drop mine off, too? I'll bring it to the studio in the morning.
Yeah, sure. Why not? But, so that's the situation. But I got to tell you how fucking helpless I am, right? Friday night or Saturday night, I don't know, I was going to make a sandwich, a turkey sandwich. And I remember she said she had bought some turkey. So I'm looking through the whole refrigerator and there's no fucking turkey. So I call her in Israel halfway across
me?
The world to ask her where she put the fucking turkey.
Where was the fucking turkey?
It was there. I just didn't look good enough.
Oh, my God. I can't. Why are men so helpless sometimes? It really fucking pisses
me off. I don't
know.
I'm telling you, I've just become so fucking lazy since I met her because she does everything. And not because she doesn't have a choice. She pretty much just initiated this. You know, she's like, I'll do this, I'll do that. Then I let her start handling paying the bills too. And I'm like a free floater now. You know, I mean, I work and that's my excuse, you know, and then she does everything else. But now I'm stuck with all this shit, piles of mail. I don't want to look at the bills.
Well, don't look at them. That's what I do.
Yeah. I know. Just let it sit there, right?
If you don't get your mail, you know, if you don't check your mail, you know what I mean? You never got the bill and then you don't worry about it.
Yeah, right.
That's what I like.
Yeah, just like saying if you don't know the law, then you're not guilty, right?
Yeah.
But
why is that webcam looking at me over there?
It's not looking at you. Actually, I want to check it and see if it works.
I was like, don't point
we'll
that
do it
thing
on the
at me. Oh, my
no,
goodness.
We'll do it. No, it's actually taking the studio. I thought I'm going to try this and see because sometimes I need to see what's going on in the studio when I'm remote, you know,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. Like I can see the buttons here on the board and maybe. I don't know. It depends how big it comes on the other side. But But yeah, maybe it's cool. I don't know. So I'm just testing it now.
Very nice.
Okay? So don't pay attention. It's okay. Just a fucking camera. It's not going anywhere.
You think
okay?
I'm camera shy? No. You think I'm shy about anything? No.
No, you keep piling up more pictures on your Facebook all the time. That's pretty cool.
I'm not doing any of that.
Really?
Eric is doing all of that for me.
Oh, really?
I could barely upload anything.
Really?
I'm completely useless.
Good.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So remember our guest that we had on Friday, Phil Verone?
Right.
So I told you that I was going to go to a show, and I sent you a text. I don't know if you got it or not.
Never got the text.
Because I thought it was weird that you didn't respond. We ended up going to it.
Oh, you went to it?
Yeah, yeah.
With your family?
I took my dad and his girlfriend my girlfriend... His girlfriend's mom.
Oh.
And he had a table reserved for us right up front, which was really awesome.
Nice.
Tiny, tiny little club, but it was really cute in there. Mm. And then I also brought two of my girlfriends that I used to work with up in Malibu at the bar, Lena and Christy, which actually, let me back up for 1 second. I wasn't planning on having them come, but right. So I was in my bathtub taking a bath, you know, getting ready to go meet my dad and everyone for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I hear like two girls screaming as they come roaring into my apartment. And I'm like, hello, I'm in the bathtub. Who's here? They're like, it's Lena and Christy. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, nothing. Hold on. I'll be out in a sec. So I come out in my towel like 2 minutes later and Christy, God bless her. And she's so cute and sexy. Both of these girls are just totally gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But so Christy's got like this gorgeous blonde hair, but she could be a little bit spacey and ditzy like me sometimes. I had left my vibrator on the couch. So, but it looks, it's like the Hitachi magic wand.
Right.
You know, the one on Sex and the City and everything. But so all of a sudden, she didn't know what it was, so she went up to it, and she, like, puts it up to her mouth and is holding it like a microphone.
Oh, my God.
And she starts singing into it, and she's like, Susie, this is awesome. You got the new American Idol karaoke thing. And so she's, like, got her lips pressed to my vibrator.
Oh, my God.
And she's, like, singing into it.
Pussy juice and stuff.
All kinds of nasty, who knows what. So she's singing her heart out. I'm in my towel, and I'm looking at her like I'm watching a train wreck, and I'm like, oh, my God.
She didn't know it was a vibrator?
She didn't know. So I walked I walked over to her, and I was like, Christy, I was like, hold on, you got to turn it on. Uh-huh. And I turned it on, and it goes, like, right on her lips. She lost it. She hucked that thing across the room. I'm lucky, she's lucky it didn't break or else I would have killed her. Yeah. But
wow.
Can you imagine that?
I can't imagine. She didn't know what it was. That's like the long one with the ball on the end or something that doesn't look like a vibrator.
It does
vibrator,
it looks
right.
Kind of like a neck massager, but also kind of like a white microphone.
Right.
I could not fucking believe she did that. I was like, I just am going to pee my pants.
Oh, wow.
But I don't have pants on, so never mind.
That's funny.
So these were my girlfriends that I brought to the show with me. And then, my dad and his girlfriend and her mom, like, they didn't really know it was going to be a sex show.
Oh, is that what it turned out to be?
Of course.
He talked about the dildos, but I thought it was just a comedy show.
It was a comedy show.
And he said there would be some porn stars and stuff there too, right?
Yes, actually, I was sitting next to one of them, this girl Angie, who was really cute and funky and fun.
Uh-huh.
I think actually...
So it was a sex party.
It definitely, I mean, there were a couple jokes, obviously, that didn't refer to sex, but everything always turns to it in the long run.
Okay.
And Phil propositioned me again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty exciting.
And? Oh, so you like it. Okay.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know.
Go ahead. No,
really
no,
say.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, you started it, you know.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that we went to the club and it was really fun and, I don't know. I think I'm going to definitely go again.
Yeah?
Yes, yes. So next time I'll have to drag you along.
Maybe I'll go. Maybe I'll go. We'll see. So
I think you're afraid to go out with me.
Why?
I don't know.
No, no, not at all.
You're afraid of the trouble you might get into.
No. I just, that show didn't really appeal to me. So I thought, I was like thinking, should I? And I thought, nah. Yeah, there's nothing for me there. And I didn't know if you were going for sure, So there's no way I was going to go on my own. I mean, what am I going to do there by myself, So so it's cool. So what did your family think?
They're giving out, there are condoms, all over the table, when you sit down. And so I'm just kind of, I wanted to swipe them up immediately, but, I'm sitting next to my dad, so I don't want to be like, oh, hey. So I just kind of waited until he left, and then I'm just, filling my purse, sliding the whole contents of the table, into my bag.
That's funny.
There was one comedian in particular that they all really, really, really liked. I vaguely remember... I don't actually... You know what? I can't remember a single joke from the entire night. Is that awful?
Yeah, and you weren't drinking Friday night, you said.
I wasn't drinking Thursday or Friday, but this is Saturday night.
Oh, I
so
see.
So I was drinking.
Oh, it was Saturday? I thought it was Friday night.
No, it was Saturday night.
Okay.
So I had, you know, been drinking a lot at dinner and da-da-da, and then at the comedy show, and then they kept bringing out shots, and then Lena and Christy and I were going out to the bar and doing shots, and I don't know. So I was definitely very drunk, and I was laughing hysterically at everything, but... yeah, I think there was one really, really, really good comic.
Yeah.
At least that's what my father said the next day.
Well, did they enjoy themselves?
They did. They did.
Good.
But they left early because they're, you know, they were tired and
yeah. Nobody
tired
parties
old.
Like you, Susie.
No, no.
No one could keep up with you.
I actually didn't get home until 10 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Really?
Yes.
What happened there? You ended up fucking him.
No, no, okay. Not yet.
All right.
Did you hear that yet? Not yet, Phil.
No. But you know what? It occurred to me. I was listening to the replay and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's occurred to me that the only time that males really brag about the size of their dicks is when they're young, when they're like teenagers and stuff. I've met a lot of guys in my life. I've never seen a guy walking around saying, I have a big dick. And many guys do. You know, I mean, many guys have big dicks, you know. And so, I don't know. It's sort of like either seemed like juvenile to me or kind of coming from insecurity or something. I'm not saying that he doesn't have one. I'm just saying that it's really weird.
That a 41-year-old?
Yeah, to hear somebody talk about it and really... making themselves appear like, yeah, I can get anything and anybody and all that, you know. And it just, I don't know. It occurred to me that it's not something that you hear, you know, from normal people.
maybe considering, you know, he is a comic and that he also was here doing a radio show and, you know, the conversation just turned to shit right from the second they walked in the studio.
No, I have a feeling he goes around telling this. And I guess he can be proud of it, so it's fine. But it occurred to me that whole conversation with her and the horse dicks and stuff like that, I was thinking it's like we sort of reduced the conversation to pleasure being only from the size of the dick, you know? And I don't know. I've heard, first of all, you know, I've been with women in my life.
I'm getting the feeling that conversation made you insecure somehow, Sam.
No, no, it's not about insecure because I was thinking about... No, I mean, well, what do I have to be insecure about? You know, I've done my share and stuff. Not to say I wouldn't like to fuck
I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean, I was thinking about this because, you know, I mean, I get passionate about certain things and stuff, you know. And, no, because, okay, let me first say this to you, okay? That, almost every woman that I've been with, and in fact, I was thinking about this, we should call a former girlfriend of mine or two and just have them describe, okay? But the point is this, is that I've yet to find a woman that said, you know what, I really need like a much bigger dick, okay? Because in fact,
well, I think any that's just mean.
No, no, but I mean, if, what do you mean it's mean?
I don't know, like I've had sex with some, like people that have had really small members.
Right.
And I mean, afterwards, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you're, I don't know.
You wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, therefore, how would the guy ever know?
But it's not about saying, it's about how someone reacts, you know, and that's what it's about.
I'm a good actress, though.
Yeah. Okay.
I try and spare people's feelings.
Okay. But I'm talking about girlfriends and stuff, okay? Not just one-night stands. They didn't have to impress me or anything. But when I've been with chicks and they saw, like, really big dicks, they're not really turned on because they go, where is it all going to go? You know, I mean, it's not like I don't know how to handle something like this. So I think, you know, she's got a fucking problem because she's really limited herself to a certain number of this. And then, yeah, and the question is, you know, how much does the technique really mean to you? You know, because I don't know. I would imagine if you have a big cock, you don't necessarily know how to fuck or use it.
Good point. You know? That is a very, very valid point.
But, you know, I mean, all in all, it's just that... It just occurred to me because we were sitting here and he was bragging about it and I thought, I can't go and brag about myself and shit, you know, it's just not me. You know, it's not me.
Well, I mean,
to respect other people.
Yeah, but aside from being like on the radio, when you go out into your normal life, you're a family man, you're a father, you're a husband. I mean, you're not usually running around in circles and you're not trying to get other women. You already have a wife.
Yeah, but I'm talking about when I was single and stuff, you know. I mean, it's still, I didn't go around talking about it. In fact, I mean, I can't ever forget this one. But remember I told you about my incident outside Chippendales when I screwed this girl?
Yeah, in the car.
In the car and stuff. So one thing I left out is that the first thing she says, she goes, oh my God, you didn't tell me. You knew and you didn't tell me. And she was referring to the size of my member, right? And I'm like, wow, you know, I mean, I didn't think it was like that big a deal, but to her it was. So I guess it's all relative, you know?
I still remember the very first penis I saw. I didn't know. I was like, oh my gosh.
I know. It looks pretty obscene.
It's really scary looking. Like when you see it up close and personal, and it was pink, and like, I didn't think it was going to be pink. And this thing is like bright pink and looking at me, like pointing that eye at me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah.
You know what I think the most obscene is?
I think I poked
is?
It.
Yeah. You know what I think the most obscene is when you see like a, sometimes you run into like pictures on the internet when you look at porn and stuff of like older women with younger guys and stuff. And so you'll see like a big hard dick right next to an old woman's face. And that's obscene.
Yes, yes,
that's
that
obscene,
it is.
You know?
But, you know, some people have their fantasies and their fetishes out
they
there.
They really
so.
Do, you know? I mean, there's just about anything and everything out there.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I'm telling you. It's amazing. So so that was good. Okay, so where'd you end up being until that time?
10 in the morning. So after I left the club, I went and hung out with Lena and Christy for a little while. And then we had a couple more drinks. And then my friend Jack, I met Jack on a road, not a freeway, but like, I don't know, Sawtelle Boulevard, one of those big roads around
yes,
here.
Yes, uh-huh.
When I was on my apartment hunt,
uh-huh.
I met him and his friend driving.
Yeah.
So they were both pretty cute, and I was like, hey, and then they were like, hey, and then I was like, hey. And so eventually, like, we're having...
What a conversation.
I know. Hey. Well, kind of, it's got to start off with that little flirtatious vibe.
Yeah.
And I just had that really bad experience where I swore that old woman was going to hit me over the head with a flashlight and, like, chain me to a radiator because she was so lonely. And so I was kind of, like, shaken up. I'm like, oh, my God. When I met them on the road... but so eventually, like 5 minutes later, they're like, pull over. We want to get your number. And I'm like, okay. So I pull over and then we start chatting. But so these were the two guys that my sister and I ended up going out with in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did I tell you about that we went out with these two guys in Vegas?
No, you never told me
because
that.
They live in LA.
Oh, I see.
But they wanted to know what I was doing like one particular night. And I was like, I'm actually in Vegas right now visiting my family. And then I get a text an hour later being like, that sounded like a great idea. We're hopping on a plane right now. We'll see you in 2 hours.
Really?
And so I was like, okay, you know, never having met these guys aside from on the road. Mm-hmm. So my sister and I get all like hoochie mama'd out and we go and we met them in Vegas. Mm-hmm. And the next day, my dad's girlfriend told us we were cougars.
Oh, because they were younger?
Because they were younger. They're not that much younger.
Younger than 26?
One was 21 and one was 23.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
But so yeah. I
keep forgetting sometimes you're only 26, so 21 is not that big a difference. You know?
I know. Well, I don't know. Really, it is. I feel like it's a lot in dog years for me. It's like 35 years younger than I am right now. But yeah, so both these guys are really awesome and really fun. And so actually the night before when I was leaving the goth club, they were sending me a text message too, and I was already riding my bicycle home from this club, and I left by myself because I wanted to try and get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But so I went and hung out with them for a little bit at their house because it's right on the way home for me. But yeah, so after Christy and Lena left, Jack called and he's like, I'm at this club called Edison mm-hmm. in downtown.
Right.
I think it was downtown. I don't know how I got there.
Right.
Blindly plug my GPS in and drive with one eye closed. anyway, but so have you ever heard of that place?
No. Edison? No.
Edison. You need to look it up or you need to go there. We need to get friends and go have a glass of wine there. It is absolutely beautiful.
Really? Downtown?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they really fixed up the downtown there. You know, it used to be a dump.
I think this place used to be like some kind of factory or something, but it's like way underground.
Oh, really?
So you walk in and then there's not really much on the top floor. But I swear it goes down like five levels. But it's like walking down like a grand ballroom staircase. Mm-hmm. There are gorgeous chandeliers everywhere. But it's very dark, and then you just have like a chandelier lighting the place, or you know, these kind of like lamps. It almost reminded me of like a speakeasy, mm-hmm. where like the cops were going to come in, and you know, everyone would have to like, I don't know, something like during the Prohibition, and it was just a really, really, really cool, gorgeous atmosphere.
Yeah.
So I went there and I met Jack and all of the members of his band. Jack's the guy I met on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, we started hanging out there for a while, and then we went back to his house and hung out and partied until 10 in the morning.
Oh, so that was last night?
Two nights ago.
Wait
that
a minute.
That was Saturday night.
I thought you were talking about Vegas still.
No.
Oh, well.
Well,
because you said we were going out in Vegas. We went out together in Vegas.
Yes, and then, I just want to tell you that that was when the night that I met these guys, actually, for the first time
okay,
in person,
right.
aside from meeting them on the road.
Right, okay.
But so that was Saturday
you
night.
You kind of mixed up the stories. Okay,
I'm
so,
sorry.
So that Edison thing is here, downtown here.
It's here, downtown here.
Oh, and
here.
I'm fucking talking about Vegas all the time. Okay, fuck, you didn't even realize it.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So, oh, so it was down here.
Yeah,
downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And you guys did what till 10?
I don't know. Listened to music, jammed out, played the piano.
Cool.
Just kind of talked and hung
out. Nice.
Got stoned.
You never get at any point felt you needed to go to sleep?
Well, when I knew my father was going to be coming over to my apartment in 20 minutes, that's when I knew I had to go home. I was like, I should at least pretend I've been home all night.
Yeah. God, I miss the fucking 20s, man. You're having the time of your life, I'm telling you. My 20s were really roaring 20s. I mean, I had a fucking blast. And so I don't blame you. You know, I mean, I had the same kind of energy. I'd be out all the fucking time, you know, coked out sometimes, you know, and then definitely not sleeping.
I will tell you one thing. This radio show has really, really helped me survive on less and less sleep.
Really?
So you are helping me to become a better partier.
Oh, what?
I just wanted to
great.
Tell you.
Oh,
thank
great.
You, Sam.
I thought you
thank
were going
to
say you're giving me a more organized life now.
Well, that too. Now I have no choice but to organize my life around less sleep if I want to have just as much of a full and exciting weekend as I normally
I
did.
I suppose. Okay. So you're a better partier now.
I'm a better partier, and I have you to thank.
Oh, wow. So where else did you go? Did you take your guests, like, to Universal or something, anywhere?
No, you know what? It actually ended up being a little bit of a mellow trip for them because my dad's girlfriend's mom had just had she didn't have her stomach stapled, had the lap band put on because she's overweight, and like it was putting a lot of stress on her knees and on her feet and everything, and she was having a lot of trouble walking.
Right.
So she had just had the surgery about a week and a half ago.
That's where they put the rubber bands around your
they put like some kind of
intestines or something
on your stomach, so they shrink
stomach,
it to being like the size of a walnut.
Yeah.
So, you know, she doesn't really have all that much energy. It was actually, I felt so badly when we would go out to eat, because I'm like, sweet, my dad's in town, I'm going to order a 6-course meal. I'm going to, like, store everything in my leg for the next week. But you know, all she can have is broth. She can have broth, like,
oh,
for three
God.
Meals a day, and that is it.
Wow.
And so imagine, like, the energy that you would lose just, you know, going from eating normal meals into that.
Yeah.
So we had her with us, and, you know, she couldn't really walk that much. And so we just kind of took it easy. I brought them down to the Venice Boardwalk, which is only, like, 2 blocks from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And then she really likes basketball, so she watched basketball on the boardwalk. And I took my dad and Judy down to the canals. We walked around there
nice.
For a bit.
I know. Everybody loves it there.
I love the canals.
Yeah.
I would love to live there. If I ever had enough money, I would buy a house there in a heartbeat.
I know. One time we saw a house there, like a huge house, and it was for rent. I don't know how much it was, but I told my wife, I said, why don't we get a few couples and we'll just live here?
That would be
and
sweet.
Then I realized there's no way I can live with other people in the same house, you know.
Not you.
But it would be awesome to live there.
I know. It really would be.
Canals and everything. Although they're pretty stinky. I mean, the water is pretty lousy there.
Well, if I moved in there, I would set up a water filtration system, and I would have the whole thing all set up. So let me see. So it's Sunday morning. So then I went out to I took them out to breakfast at a little place in Venice called Mediterranea. It's a really nice little place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they left. And then what did I do? Oh, and so then I started packing some stuff again to move into my new house.
Mm-hmm.
But I packed this huge antique trunk that I have, and I couldn't lift it, obviously, to get it into my car by myself.
What are you doing with an antique trunk?
I have a lot of, like, little antique-y things that I've had forever. But so I run out into the street, and I find two strapping young men, and I'm like, excuse me, boys. I really felt like a cougar now because they were 18. I'm like, would you guys come into my lair and help me lift my heavy trunk? I can't do it by myself. And they kind of look at each other, and they're like, you know, is she going to, like, chain us up and make us her sex slaves? Or I don't know. Even, like, a girl, like, a young girl asking two boys,
right.
like, to help. I'm like, you know, I'm a girl. I can't lift it by myself.
Yeah.
They looked a little skeptical at first.
Yeah.
Like, do I look like some deranged serial killer that's going
to,
like, lure
them? No, but you
look
like but you come across as someone who is trying to pick them up, maybe. I'm telling you, and I told you this before, and people have told you, in L.A., it's not common to be that friendly. And when you're a woman, an attractive woman, people would think you're trying to pick them up.
I don't know.
No, I mean, you should stay who you are, you know, but I'm just saying that you need to understand how people perceive it sometimes.
All right,
you know?
All right.
I'm telling you, it's like you saying that you were fucking this clerk in the court.
I fucking
him, right? Okay.
Well, I was doing that purposely.
Or fucking him with your eyes. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that these things don't normally happen. So, I mean, if I saw somebody, a woman staring at me all the time, I'd say, yeah, you know, she wants to fuck, you know? So, I mean, you got to think of this from the other people's point of view, you know? But yeah, I mean, look, if I was there with my friend, and this pretty girl came and says, can you lift this for me? Okay? But the way you said it sounded like very
don't you think maybe she just wanted it lifted?
Yeah. Yeah, but you said it in a seductive way. That's the way you were...
Well, I don't mean to really sound seductive. I was just like, hi, guys. I'm like, I'm moving. Can you please help me lift this? It's really heavy.
Oh, okay. You know, and, so it's not the way you said it. You said it in a way
like... It was kind of a combination.
Yeah, well, fuck you if you move it for me.
No, no, no. Oh, my goodness. Not at all.
No.
But so anyway, they came into my... They looked at each other and they're like, okay. You know, and so they came into my apartment, at which point they ended up staying for half an hour. I didn't want them to stay for half an hour, but then they saw Henry, my little kitten that I'm fostering right now, and they're like, oh my God, that's the cutest little thing we've ever seen in our life.
Really?
And I'm like,
they
like
that better than the lizard?
They didn't even see the lizard.
Oh.
I had the light off in the lizard tank, so they didn't even notice.
I'm sure they would have become your friends if they'd seen the lizard.
Well, now I owe them beers, and they live right around the corner, so they're coming over for beers one of these nights.
Really? Be careful. If they're underage, be careful, Susie. Okay, you don't need any more fucking courts.
Yeah. I know.
You see, I'm the angel on your shoulder.
I'm thinking of getting like a little angel and a little devil
tattooed
on the
devil.
Other side. That'd be also appropriate for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, they helped me move the trunk into the car, and then my new roommate, Lisa, she's really cute and petite, so she wouldn't be able to help me carry the trunk up, so I call my friend Cameron and Lindsay, and I'm like, you know, they live kind of in the area, and I'm like, can you guys help me carry the trunk up? And they're like, we're having endless mimosas right now in Hollywood. Why don't you meet us, and then we'll help you carry the trunk.
Right.
How can I turn down endless mimosas, Sam?
How can you?
You know, I'm only, there's only so much I could do. So... So I drive to Hollywood and I meet them, and they're having endless mimosas with another couple. Actually, it wasn't a couple. It was just a guy and a girl that weren't together.
Mm-hmm.
But this girl is going to be another guest in our show.
Oh, yeah?
Cool. She is the cat's meow. She absolutely cracks me up. She's just so, so, so fucking funny. The two of us were just going head to head. I found like my new best friend in this girl.
Oh, really?
She's a lawyer. She went to, but this is the funny thing. She's a lawyer. And so you know how we were having our conversation about how lawyers are just dirty, rotten, nasty, nasty people?
Yeah.
I found two at this table that I'm in love with.
Really?
They are,
so you found exceptions.
I found an exception. And so I tell her, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I have a radio show. She's like, no way. She's like, I have wanted a radio show my entire life. I'm so jealous. And I said, well, why don't you come in and be a guest? And she's like, great, where's your office? And I was like, or your studio.
Well, tell her she can host a show on her station, too.
Well, listen, I tell her what building we're in, and she's like, shut the fuck up. And I was like, what? Her law firm is in this building.
Really?
She's here right now, like 18 floors below us.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow, how weird is that?
I know. So one of these days, she wants to take us out to lunch, like at the top of the Standard, like, you know, and have a quote, business lunch, and she'll write it off. And
yeah.
It's
cool.
Wonderful. I'm really excited.
Then we'll start talking nicely about lawyers.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I figured she can come and defend herself.
Yeah, I suppose.
Or maybe
we'll
not.
Attack her.
We'll attack her, yes.
They're accustomed to that, right?
I mean,
lawyers are supposed to argue.
They're supposed to argue, so cool. So we'll have her in here, and she's just a firecracker. Oh, my God,
really?
I love her. I couldn't believe that. So the endless mimosas turned into making new friends and just a really, really good afternoon.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. You want to take a little break?
Okay.
So I'm going to be back right after this.
This is Jesse Jackson, and when I get nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, even diarrhea, there's Pepto-Bismol. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, yay, Pepto-Bismol. When Jesse Jackson gets a rainbow of stomach ailments, think the smaller than you think. Yay, Pepto-Bismol.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Former NFL Football Star Criminal.
Former NFL Football Star Criminal.
You know the best way to get your memorabilia back is to steal it at gunpoint. Come on, did you really think you'd get away with it? Like you got away with double murder?
We had a fit when they did acquit.
You've made a comeback, Mr. Former NFL football star criminal. Not on the field, but in the courtroom. And this time the jury might actually pay attention to the evidence.
Instead of Marshall Clark's hairstyle.
They even caught you on tape swearing your fool head off.
What the f*** were you thinking? Yeah.
So the next time you're watching The Naked Gun and say, hey, there's that murderer guy, make sure you add the title Armed Robber, because you're referring to Mr. Former NFL Football Star Criminal, a real American hero.
Mr. Former NFL Football Star Criminal.
I guess what happens in Vegas doesn't stay. Well, never mind, that joke's played out.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want.
FCC plates on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. it's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Indeed it is.
Oh my, oh, oh my.
We're getting raunchier and raunchier all the time.
Actually, when I was on my bike ride on Friday, I was talking to some other people, you know, new friends of mine that I was making along the way. They're like, oh, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, I have a radio show. And they're like, oh, really? Which one? And I was like, Sam and Susie in the Morning, latalkradio.com. They're like, oh, on the internet. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then this one kid was telling me, he's like, oh, I love, you know, this other show that's on FM radio, like 97.1.
Right.
And so I decided to tune into that, you know, and obviously these people are excited and they're like, oh, we're going to listen to your show. It's so cool. Uh-huh. But so on the way in today, I decided I was going to listen to the 97.1 and just see, like,
Adam
how cool.
Carolla.
Adam Carolla.
Right.
A, his voice is so annoying.
Isn't it? I hate,
oh,
I
my
hate his voice.
God, he sounds like a whiny, sniveling little bitch.
Right. And he thinks he's funny, and I don't think he's funny at all.
And, you know, he's name-dropping, like, constantly. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I was out to dinner with Jimmy Kimmel the other night.
Yeah,
and
well, because he is. I mean, he's best friends with Jimmy Kimmel. He was on...
But that's fine, but the entire show, he's just saying, oh, yeah, right. So me and Jimmy, and, you know, me and Jimmy. It's like,
exactly,
okay,
yeah.
Buddy, you know what I mean? You need to, like... You know, cut the cord,
yeah.
Become your own man, and try and develop your own personality and your own show, not attached to Jimmy.
Yeah. He used to have a show called Love Lines on MTV, I think, with Dr. Drew, who still has a show like advice and stuff, like sex advice. But that's what it was about, sexual advice. And that's where I remember Adam Carolla from. And then he'd come on Howard Stern. And I would always hate his voice. And I would think, I always felt he's not fucking funny.
I know.
You know.
I don't understand, like, why people like this even get airtime, or, like, you know, who pays them to even be on the radio.
Well, it shows you that. That's what I'm saying, Susie. One day we're gonna have more listeners than they do by far.
I know.
You know,
I
it's
know.
Just a question of time. That's all. Ugh. It's gonna happen. It's the question is when. You know. Right now, you see, because that's the thing. If you're driving your car and you want to listen to talk radio and you don't want news, okay, which is
NPR.
Mainly what you get on AM. Then you go to FM, and there's only one talk station, so that's what you listen to,
mm-hmm.
You know. And they used to have Howard Stern. That's how most people discovered the station,
yeah.
You know. And it used to be a rock station once, but then they changed it to talk a long time ago. And there's been some really cool shows on that station, by all means. But Adam Carolla sucks.
Yeah, that one.
Every
in particular,
time I try
I was
to listen
to it, and I'm just like, ew.
Yeah.
Like, how does anyone listen to this?
I know. And this is like a show where I remember one time they were talking, and he says something like, "Yeah, shit" or something, and I thought, people don't fucking talk like that. I mean, this is how kids talk.
That's how I talk when I go into nanny mode.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that car just cut me off, Skylar. Oh my gosh. S-H-I-T. F-U-C-K. And I just start spelling everything. And then he's sitting in the back. And he's like, la la, goo goo gaga.
Yeah. You see? So that's what I mean. So we've got the best of all worlds here.
I know. And we've got listeners. I know I just brought it up over the break, but I just wanted to say hi to our listener in Finland out there.
Oh, cool. And I know we have listeners in Korea, and we have listeners in Japan.
Are you kidding me?
No, I swear.
This is crazy.
I've got the stats. I'm telling you. People are from all over Germany, Netherlands, Great Britain.
That is so, so, so cool. But, like, Finland, I was just telling you, I'm like, I don't even know where Finland is. And we have this listener out there who contacted me with MySpace.
Yeah.
But he seemed, like, so sweet, and he was just so genuine. He's like, I love the show. And he's like, I hope you have such a great weekend. He's like, you just make me smile, and da-da-da-da-da.
I think that's a country where they have the highest suicide rate, or one of those Scandinavian countries.
Yeah.
And I think because it's, like, it's up there, and it gets
cold
dark.
Cold and dark.
And dark, you know.
Up there with Alaska.
Yeah. Although, you know what's interesting? When I was in Copenhagen, which is in Denmark, which is you know, next door to Finland, I remember when we were there in the summer, there would be daylight out till midnight.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the sun would come up again at 4. So that's the flip side of their winters, you know? In the winter, they have, like, darkness most of the day. And then in the summer, they have light most of the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can imagine. It's pretty weird living like that, huh?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I did, for my grandparents' 50th anniversary, they took, like, my entire extended family on a cruise to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during the summer hours where it was, like, light all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, 16 at the time, so I thought it was great. You know,
I
was
out
partying and partying and partying, like, all freaking night and all the way into the morning.
I know. It's really cool.
But you never want to go to sleep at that point. And then all of a sudden you run yourself ragged and you're just like, you're like, need to sleep. But it's like, I want to sit by the pool and, oh, I want to go whale watching and so much to do.
Yeah. I wonder if the body clock, the body's clock adjusts to that kind of a thing, you know, whereas maybe four hours is enough for you, you know, because it's hard to sleep when it's daylight out, you know?
I know. Yeah. So actually, I took like my first like two naps. I took them both on Saturday when my dad and his girlfriend and everyone were in town because they like to, you know, they like to have their cocktails with every meal, and they're like me.
Yeah.
Although I will say, once upon a time, you know, they actually told me that I was not a big enough alcoholic, that I could not keep up with them, and that I was like shaming the family name.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, great! Now we know why you're like this.
But they were telling me this, and they're like, "Oh, your sister, she's a real rally. Like, she knows how to like keep up and drink with the rest of us." Blah blah blah. Like, you, Susie, you're just a pathetic excuse. At which point, I was like, "Fuck you guys! I too am an alcoholic. You should see how much I could drink." And then I was like taking a step back, and I was like, "This is not a really, this is not a good argument to be in with your family of who's a bigger alcoholic, like me or my sister, like who's going to keep up with the family name."
Yeah, no, not a good idea.
That's a bad thing to like be arguing about.
It really is.
I mean, who does that?
A family of drinkers, I guess.
I don't know.
It's in the genes, I think. I really do, you know, all these addictions and shit. I think it goes from one generation to the other.
Oh, absolutely.
It really does.
They say, I don't know, but they say alcoholism is a disease. I don't know about that.
Why?
Because if there was never any alcohol, would the disease exist?
Well, you probably manifest it in different ways.
Well, say
it's an addiction. I mean, it's an addiction.
Yeah.
You know, an addiction is a disease because it's affecting your body or your mind.
Well,
or,
then I am just a sick person.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty addictive too. You know, I mean, I you know, with the cigarettes, I just can't kick them, man. And
have you tried my Chantix?
No, I haven't. Because you know why, Susie?
You don't want to quit.
I don't want to quit.
That's why you can't kick it. Actually, will you remind me to bring in a book for you?
Which one?
I forget what it's called, but I bought it because it's a book. It's supposed to be the last book you will ever read, and you're supposed to stop smoking after it.
Oh, right. Yeah?
Yep.
I'm not good with those things.
Well, you've got all your other fucking... If you're reading a book on traffic, you could read the book on fucking smoking.
And you know what, by the way? There's a whole chapter on L.A., and I was actually going to make notes and bring them up because, Susie, I'm telling you, it's so fucking interesting to understand because we deal with the traffic here so much, you know, and you think about it a lot and the things that are going on, and you realize, I mean, there's a center here, right here downtown under the City Hall building, where they control all the traffic all over the city. They know exactly where there's problems. They adjust, the computers adjust the stoplights. And although sometimes it doesn't appear like it does,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes the lights just look like there's
they're
no
going
fucking
forever.
Way. Yeah, you know, but they know what they're doing. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. Because think about it, it's all, they're saying traffic is like supply and demand, you know. It's like how much room there is at the intersection, how many cars need to turn, all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's really, I know you're getting bored with this, but
fine.
To me it's very fascinating. So I'll bring in some really interesting facts on this stuff because I think it's so relevant to LA.
Absolutely. You know? Did you ever see The Italian Job?
Yes, yes. In fact, they have a quote from that movie and that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I don't remember what the character's name was or anything, but he was actually controlling the traffic to make his people able to get away better.
I remember
he was like,
that.
Okay, green light. I don't remember. Yeah,
they were
like
in
that.
A helicopter. Yeah.
But so everyone probably sees that, and they're just like, no way, like, who's going to control that, blah, 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 blah. You don't really think about, like, the man behind the
Yeah, but it's all computers,
curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was based on truth, you know.
Actually, but, I saw that show, and I had just come back from California, and I was packing up my life and about to move, I'd just come back to Massachusetts, and I was packing up my life to move out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that show, and I needed to buy a new car. The next day, I went out and I bought my Mini Cooper.
Wow.
Because I was like,
with a white stripe and everything?
No, I don't have the white stripe. I didn't really like the white stripe.
No.
You know, I'm not, I mean, I am a little bit of a race car driver, but I don't know. There's no need for that, I don't think.
Yeah. That's funny. But that movie was amazing. And
so great.
And it started in Venice, which brings up the fact that I finally got around to seeing the last James Bond.
Okay? Which one was that?
I just spaced out. Oh, Casino Royale with the new James Bond.
Where he get, does he get
Daniel
poisoned
Craig.
And does he like sneak out to his car and he's trying to get like Is that the one?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, that's the one where he gets that, he gives himself an electric shock.
Like the EpiPen or something.
Right, exactly. That's the one. And the funny thing is when it first came out, I went to see it because I'm a big James Bond
fan. Me too. I love James Bond.
Really?
Love, love, love.
I mean, right now I'm reading a graphic novel of a James Bond. I'm reading the latest novel of James Bond, and I just saw a movie. So all the stories are mixed up in my head right now. But I don't know how I got on this kick suddenly of back on James Bond. But so when it came out in the theaters about a year ago or so, I fell asleep doing the friggin' movie. And I thought it was boring, and that's why I fell asleep. But usually I realize a movie is boring when you're sleeping through it, you know?
Yeah, duh.
Not the other way around. So my son and I watched it on DVD. It was an amazing movie. I really liked it.
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
really
I didn't think, some people said it's the best James Bond movie ever. I don't think so, but it was pretty good. You know, and I think he's good at it.
I don't know if I saw the whole thing like from start to finish. I just have a couple little like, clips in my mind.
Yeah. But you see, it ended in Venice, that one. The Italian Job started in Venice. This one ended in Venice.
Okay, I definitely don't think I finished the movie then.
No?
Yeah.
Where he was following her and she was giving the money to the bad guys and all that.
Way to ruin it for me.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, there is a twist after that, so... But no, it's pretty cool. By the way, people have been trying to call, and I didn't want to interrupt you.
Oh, let them call.
No, I mean, they're not calling right now. But if you do want to call in, we have a new number. The number is 323-203-0815. And I also want to plug the show that comes right after us. It's Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Always great stuff talking about teens. And he's going to have our own Dr. Michelle, who usually has her shows on Friday. She's going to be a guest today, and they're going to talk about detoxing the drama.
Uh-oh.
I mean, to me, it's very relevant with two teenagers right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. For those of you who want to listen, stay tuned for that. I see our guest is, like, extremely late, and I can't believe this. But you know what? Also in the book, it says...
Hold on. Like, detoxing the family. You know, that doesn't have to be just relevant for the kids.
No,
I mean,
detox the drama.
Detox the drama.
Right.
You know, that's relevant for kids, too, because sometimes I think the parents could be more dramatic than the kids half the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think it's like sort of like focusing on teens because they abuse drugs and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that's why it's called Answers for the Family, you know.
Mm.
And it's a really cool show. I love Alan. And so that's that. There were a couple more things I wanted to bring up. Oh, if you guys missed Max's show last night, To the Max, he had on the niece of Kofi Annan, who was the UN general, whatever it's called, the head of the UN for a few years. Yeah, he's this black guy from, I don't remember what African country. And so this was his niece, and she's also a beautiful model and an actress. So
crazy.
Max had her on, and it was a great interview. She's also a philanthropist, and they have some good causes. So catch the archive at... on Max's page there, too.
Mad Max.
Mad Max. Yesterday was funny because a guest called into the 6 o'clock show who was supposed to call on the 4 o'clock show.
Uh-oh.
So she's like, oh, I was busy, so I just thought I'd call later. And I'm thinking, don't you realize you're calling to a different show now?
Oh, no. Well, did the other show pick up? And like,
Yeah, they just talked to her. Yeah, she's an actress. And so that was funny. And by the way, I don't know if you got the email, but Jeff is throwing a party this Saturday.
Why can't you guys give a little bit more notice for
these
things?
That's Jeff, not me. Don't ask me.
Jeff.
Okay? When I do the picnic thing soon, I'll give people 3-4 weeks to plan.
Because I'm bartending for the Creative Emmys on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
From 3 to something. Okay. It's usually only like a 5 to, I don't know, 7-hour shift.
Mm-hmm.
So I will definitely be stopping by afterwards.
Ooh.
So.
That'll be cool, yeah. And he actually moved, so he's even closer to me now. So he's in Sherman Oaks also.
That invitation didn't have any like information on where and what time, though.
Really?
Yeah.
It didn't have the street number?
It didn't have the street.
Really?
I got it on my cell phone email.
Oh.
I had 4 attachments of 4 pictures of like some girl like spinning throwing poi.
What?
Throwing poi.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get the same thing I got?
Yeah. Do you know what poi is?
No.
You've got this look on your face. You're like,
yeah. What the fuck's poi? I mean, I don't remember girls throwing
anything.
They're
things. Okay, I'll have to explain it to you. Okay, you put like these little like rings on your fingers, and it's attached like a metal chain, and it's got like a ball on the end of it, and you've got one on either hand, and you could dip them in some kind of like flammable liquid,
like fire.
Set it on fire, and then you spin them.
Oh, so you're talking about the fire show?
That's called throwing poi.
I see. Okay. So, yeah, that's the fire show. Okay, yes. I know that. He has it every party.
You're like, no, there wasn't a food fight. No, I was throwing shit everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know what
the blank stare at your face. I was like, okay. Everyone at Burning Man does that shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Burning Man, I was actually at a Burning Man decompression party last night.
That's what, I mean, Janique put something on Facebook. I didn't understand that at all. Like, I'm thinking of like... I don't know, Burning Man, like, memories, I don't know what the fuck. But she didn't go, right?
She didn't go? No, she's in Colorado right now.
Yeah.
So I saw this, I had this party, and a lot of our bicycle friends went to Burning Man. They actually had, like, a whole camp set up this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it take place already?
Burning Man?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
It took place August 25th through the following Monday.
Oh, last week.
Yeah. Mm. But so anyway, every year, like, after Burning Man... the first 6 months after Burning Man, people all over the country and world get together and they have these quote unquote like decompression parties. Mm. And I think it's just a bullshit excuse to get fucked up all over again and wear crazy costumes and look ridiculous. And then after 6 months are up, like after Burning Man, and then you have the 6 month countdown till Burning Man, then you have compression parties.
Yeah.
And that's another excuse to just get dressed up and fucked up and just party and count down till the really big fucked up party event.
Yeah.
So I kind of think it's a little bit bullshit-y. I don't know.
Yeah.
These things happen like all year long. But anyway, I was at one of those parties last night, which ended up turning out to be this really, really crazy just jam fest with like 100 of us. And, you know, we were all just a good biking crew, good people. But it was really far away. I had no idea it was going to be really far away. Do you know where Eagle Rock is?
I've heard of it. No. Wait a minute. That's on the way to Palmdale? No.
I don't know. It's on the way to something.
Really?
But it took me a really long time to get home last night and even to get there.
Yeah.
But so it was up in the middle of nowhere. And we had this party. Like, there was a band that was on the roof of a garage.
Mm-hmm.
And so next thing you know, we just took over the whole garage and we're just dancing under this whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
I don't know how we didn't get noise complaints and all got arrested.
Yeah. Wow.
Because none of us were really skilled guitarists or pianists or drummers. But yet we're all just banging away with the microphones and just creating a ruckus.
Yeah.
Well,
I just got a text message from our guest that she's stuck in traffic. Now, let me ask you this.
I'm sick of this excuse.
Okay. And in that book, Traffic, okay, on the chapter on L.A., that was the first paragraph. It's like, in L.A., people are always accustomed to hearing, you know, I was caught in traffic or something. My question is this, and it goes to you also, okay?
Don't give me that look.
You've been late for two shows in 2 days, okay?
Was I 5 minutes late?
No, but wait a minute. Wait.
Okay.
No, because I'm trying to figure it out. I mean, I'm not castigating you or anything.
I was late because I got a bagel.
Okay. But listen. That's still a poor excuse, okay? Because the thing is if you're going to get a bagel, then you leave 5 minutes before. My question is this, okay? I've lived here for 32 years, Susie. Mm-hmm. I've never been late to anything because of the traffic. Never. Never. Because I take enough time to get there.
I have no comment.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay. You know, I mean, if you take enough time.
Okay.
Because, you see, that's the thing. In L.A., yes, you can give that excuse, but you also have to do something about it as well, you know? If you know L.A. is full of traffic, you leave early. That's part of life in L.A.
Yes.
You know? But many people don't see that. I mean, if I went to a fucking radio station, I'd leave 2 hours early, make sure I got there on time, you know? Because, I mean, it's too bad, because now it's her time that she could have been on the air.
So is she coming or is she not coming?
I guess she is. She didn't say she's not, so I don't know.
Aye.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of... Yes, I was late because I was getting a bagel. I should have left another 5 minutes early this morning.
It's not the bagel. It's when you left the house.
No, I left the house. I actually did leave the house earlier this morning than I normally do. But sometimes, if you leave 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, sometimes if I leave... I could be on Venice Boulevard, and I could be on there 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Right.
If you hit every single red light.
That's true.
I run my life, like, to the minute.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, my day is just kind of, like, scheduled just like that.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to be 5 minutes early or 5 minutes late, and I will try to be on time.
Did I just answer the phone? No, they just hung up. Sorry. The phone was calling, ringing.
Well, next time it rings, just tell me to shut
no,
up.
No, no, I don't want to. I want to let you finish the idea. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you definitely are a busy person, you know. But you really have to. I mean, because, look, you were also shooting for 5 to 9 to get here. Shoot for 9:15, you know. And then even if you were late, you know.
Good point. Come on. It doesn't make a difference
in how much you sleep. I mean, 5-10 minutes more, it's not a big deal. Listen, I'm not castigating you. Okay, do whatever the fuck you want. I can run half the show alone. But I'm just telling you that it doesn't have to be that way.
I know.
Yeah. It doesn't look very good. That's all. It doesn't reflect good on people. I mean, you know what I really don't get is people that have license plates that say always late. It's like, what the fuck? Are you proud of that? People are proud of being late. Like, it's a cool thing.
I know.
But maybe it is. I mean, some people like to be late for parties because they think it's cool, right?
Well, they don't want to make an entrance. No one wants to be the first one there.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
The thing about the Franz, he always drives me nuts. He wants to be the first one to every single ride. And it's like all these rides like start at this time, like supposedly, and then they leave at this time. And it's like no one is going to be there right now. Like, I swear no one will fucking be there. And then like we'll get a phone call like 20 minutes later from the person who's actually throwing the ride. I'm running an hour late. Like, can you guys go early and like tell everyone I'm going to be there like an hour late? And it's like, fuck you. No, this is your ride or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the thing. That's L.A. I mean, that's totally L.A. behavior for you. You know, it really is.
My old job at the bar up in Malibu, the Malibu Inn, the manager actually called and asked me, he asked to take me back over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
And that was a job. The one that the manager that is working there right now, I actually adore. I think he's a wonderful guy, and I would love to go back and work for him. But I really left that place kind of on not so nice terms. I mean, I nicely said fuck you to them
when
I left.
And they still want you back, huh?
They called and I said, we need your personality. Like, please.
Wow.
I was like, really? Really? Tell me again.
Yeah.
Really? You want me back?
Yeah, this is how much I want now.
Really?
Yeah, you should have set your terms.
Well, I told him I would go
in. This is a time to get a raise.
I know. I would go in and meet him and discuss.
Yeah. Do that, please.
Discuss things.
Do that.
But I was like, I'm not available for the next week. You know, I've got a very busy schedule this week, and then we'll talk.
Yeah,
But so that job, it actually really pissed me off because, you know, we are adults. Yes, we live in L.A. We're not kids. You know, we're not in school. We're not going to get detention for being late. But back, it was over Father's Day or Mother's Day. Whatever. No, Father's Day. That's what it is. And so I had to be at the bar. I had switched shifts with someone, and so I was supposed to be there at 3 o'clock on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I left 45 minutes earlier than I normally do because of the traffic on the PCH because it was Father's Day and I knew there was going to be a ton of traffic.
Right.
So on top of that, having left early, there was a huge accident. I think it was like a 5-car pileup. There were fire engines everywhere, police everywhere. Traffic was not moving in either direction for like an extra 40 minutes because of this accident.
Wow.
So I start getting, and I still was only going to be 5 minutes late. At this point. So I call my boss and the restaurant, and I'm like, listen, you know, there's a huge accident. I apologize. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Can you ask the bartender who's on right now to cover for me for the next 5 minutes or for the, you know, the 5-10 minutes that I'm going to be late? And I think that's what people, like, really need to understand. It doesn't matter if I'm 5 minutes late so long as I get that 5 minutes covered.
Right.
Like, if you're 5 minutes late and I'm here, you know, I'll start the show. I'll cover for you some of these days. But so my problem with this restaurant was, as soon as I walked in the door, my boss came barreling towards me with the paper in her hands, and it was my quote-unquote, my write-up. You know, I was being disciplined, even though
for 5 minutes?
For 5 minutes.
Really?
And if you get 3 of these write-ups, you get fired.
Yeah.
So they have the documentation. But so luckily, you know, I looked at the schedule behind me, and it turns out I wasn't supposed to be there until 6 that night. So she comes marching towards me. She's a little Asian chick, squinting. And she's like, and she like hands me my write-up, and she's like, I need you to sign this, Susie. And I look at the schedule, and I rip the schedule off the wall, and I was like, rip it up, bitch. Rip it up. And she's like, what? I was like, I'm actually 2 hours and 50 minutes early. She was so pissed. Wow. Just because, like, she was one of those people that, you know, thinks, I don't know, she's on a power trip and blah, blah, blah.
They wait for you to fuck up.
They wait for you to fuck up. Like, she was waiting. And I mean, the restaurant was totally dead. There was nothing going on.
Yeah.
Everyone was with their families elsewhere, not out at the bar, because it was Father's Day.
Yeah, people are assholes, man.
They really are. They really are. But, yeah, so I don't know. That was always kind of like one of my issues. It's like, as long as I get that 5 minutes covered, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine.
Yeah.
And
talking about Asian chicks, I went and got a Thai massage on Friday
because
I had to stretch out my body, you know.
How was it?
And it wasn't as rigorous as I was hoping. Aww. I mean, she asked me, do you want it hard or medium? And I remember when you get a hard one at a Thai, they kill you. They break your fucking bones. They step on your back and everything. So I asked her for a medium one, and it was pretty good. You know, I mean, I felt good afterwards. Did you ever notice after a massage, like, I was so thirsty?
They're supposed to give you water afterwards.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
But why is that, do you know? I mean, why do you get so thirsty after a massage?
It's like exercise. I mean, your body is being stretched, and the blood's like flow. The increased blood flow is like going through everywhere. Yeah. It's like when you go for a run, like your capillaries like open up, and I don't know. You just need to like rehydrate your body.
Yeah.
It's a taxing thing getting a massage.
Yeah, it is. Except I was really hoping for a hot Asian girl, but it wasn't. It was her mother instead.
Aww. You know what? Masseuses and math tutors should never be hot.
No.
I don't like it, especially, I don't know. I don't really like having a hot masseuse because sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I want you to like dig your elbow into my ass. Mm-hmm. And like say I've got this hot guy. You know, then I'm just kind of like the whole time I'm like, okay, well, does he think I'm fat? Did he like rub my love handle the wrong way? Like, oh my gosh. And then I'm all kind of self-conscious about the whole thing. But the worst, the absolute worst is when you get a talker. I mean, you know, I talk for a living. This is what I do. You right. know, I entertain people. I talk nonstop. Even when I'm behind the bar, it's talk, 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 talk. Go out to parties, you know, Susie has to talk, 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 be the life of the party. It's exhausting. So when I get a fucking massage, shut the fuck up, don't talk to me, rub my back, rub my ass, and just get in there.
Wow.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah. I know. I mean, yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry you have a boring life, and like, I'm the most exciting thing that like has happened to you in a long time, but shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, put the music, and stop. Yeah.
Yes.
I know.
Oh, God damn it. I get all angry about massages. Why'd you gotta bring that up?
I know. But one time, my wife took me for my birthday to one of these really cool hotels on Sunset
Boulevard. I thought you were going to say for one of those special ones.
Oh. No, not that one. But no happy ending. Mm. But so she took us there, and they had like a whole spa and everything, right? So, and they have aromatherapy and all that. So when I went to get the massage, it was like I was hypnotized. When I had been hypnotized before, it was the same feeling, like you're somewhere in between, you know, you're not asleep, you're not totally awake, and you're not really sure what's going on, but you're just feeling like you're floating, you know. So that was there. That was that one.
From the aromatherapy massage?
Yeah. And it was a Swedish massage, so it's not like they bend your legs and you have to move around.
So a Swedish aromatherapy massage.
Yes.
I haven't had one of those. I'm going to have to check that
out.
Wow,
that was amazing. I mean, it put me into a different state of consciousness completely.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, when I got I felt like I'd been through, a roller coaster or something. I mean, I was just not having any sense of direction or anything. It was an amazing thing, though. It felt good. I like massages, you know, but sometimes you do it for the fun, but Friday I really needed one, you know. But I need to find a place with hotter chicks, you know. It's a whole different ballgame. Just fantasizing that she's going to reach for your balls or something, you know.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
They never do.
No, they don't.
Now, you said a minute ago the massage reminded you of when you were hypnotized.
Yeah.
When were you hypnotized?
I was hypnotized when I tried to quit smoking.
Apparently,
it
didn't work.
A few months ago, no. No, it didn't.
Well, I know the quitting smoking part didn't work, but did the hypnotism part work?
Yeah. Yeah, I felt I was hypnotized, yeah.
Really?
In fact, yeah, it was actually a couple times I'd been hypnotized. Yeah, it's a pretty good, it's an amazing feeling.
What? I mean, if you're hypnotized, you're not supposed to remember it though, right?
Why?
I don't know.
No, only if they tell you not to remember it, maybe. But you got to remember also that the impression we have for hypnosis is from the entertaining hypnotists. But these are like medical people, you know, I mean, they're like therapists, hypnotherapists, you know. So
did you leave the smoking hypnotherapist and just be like, light up a cigarette?
Yeah, pretty much. That's
Shut
what I
up.
Did.
You did not.
I did.
You have
I
to
couldn't
try.
Wait. As I was hypnotized, I thought, I can't wait to get out of here and have a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm fucking pathetic, huh?
That is so awful.
I know. Let's take another little break, Susie, and we'll be back right after this.
The kids of West Beverly Hills High School are back, and they've got a new principal on 9021 Obama.
Okay, students, today we're going to discuss the audacity of hope.
Yeah, audacity was the name of the smoking hot chick I met last night at the pit, and I hope she'll go out with me.
No, kids. What I mean is that we need change.
I know what you mean about change, because like I was so into Jimmy Choo's, and now I'm all like Ferragamo's are so dope.
Barack has a special bond with these young voters on 90210 Obama.
My dad doesn't like you because you're a celebrity like Paris Hilton and Britney Spears.
Yeah, but that's exactly why we love you. We think you're the bomb. The O-bomb. Get it? Obama?
Thanks. I think.
Don't miss 90210 Obama, followed by Bristol Palin's surprise pregnancy on an all-new Gossip Girl, tonight on The CW.
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
Irresistible to me, what can I say? listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back, and our guest is finally in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So, we were talking about the excuse of being stuck in traffic in LA.
Oh,
so, okay, yeah. But we're not going to give you a hard time. Unfortunately, half of the time here is gone, but that's okay. But we're going to find out all about you. So, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Kelly McGrath.
Uh-huh.
And I'm an artist, musician, songwriter, singer. And I'm from Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We had someone from Tennessee here. Remember?
Yeah, the another singer.
Girl? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, are you country or rock and roll?
I'm a little bit of both.
I'm a little bit
like
country.
A little bit rock and roll. I do get that a lot, but yeah. It's kind of like Americana, like pop, Americana, like folk, country, rock. It's a little, you know, I don't like to limit myself to genres, so.
Nice.
All my songs are all different.
Awesome, and we'll play them in a little bit, yeah.
Okay, great. Who was the other artist?
Her name was Amber Lane. She's a young artist, I guess, and she moved to L.A., yeah.
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 Okay.
How long have you been in L.A.?
3 years.
Oh, wow, long time.
Yeah.
I've only been here for a year, so everyone who's been here longer than me, I'm just like, oh, you're an old pro.
Right.
Long time.
Right, yeah.
3 years is not a long time.
It is to me, Sam.
I guess, by L.A., yeah, by L.A. standards. And... So that's cool. And what made you want to move? I mean, did you feel that you could do better with your music here than in Nashville?
You know, it was a couple different things. Sometimes you just have to get out of your environment to be inspired when you, you know, I've grown up in Tennessee.
Right.
And then sometimes, LA has more opportunities than Nashville. I mean, Nashville is Music City. There's tons of opportunities. And who knows, I might end up there again, you know, making a record or, you know, writing with people. But, at the time, I just knew I needed change, and L.A. has more opportunities for, like, licensing music and, you know, in other different areas.
Yeah, that's where it's all happening, you know. So
it is.
You came with a dream.
I did.
To make it in Hollywood and stuff.
Did.
Yeah, join the club.
I know. I actually have a song that I've written for the Dreamers. It's my Dreamer song. It's called Don't Wake Up, and
Don't wake up. Oh, I like that. That's cute.
It's like, don't wake up. Just keep on dreaming. They say we're sleeping, but they've got clouds in their eyes.
Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that thing.
That's cool. I love your earrings. You have the peace sign.
I'm
your
all
earrings.
Peaced out today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
world
that's true.
Peace.
World peace.
I needed it on the way here. You wouldn't believe how many people needed world peace sign thrown at them.
I know.
Glad, Sam, we have someone else in the studio that took her flip-flops off and is sitting crisscrossed, and her and her bracelets are banging around. I've got someone else in the studio like me.
Yeah.
I drive him nuts sometimes. He doesn't know what to do with me.
This is how I drive in my car, too.
I know, me too. I usually have like one leg
out the window.
Yep.
Oh, God, you girls are something else, man. Yeah, we were talking about this. It's pretty sexy for guys to see that, though, you know? To see, you know, the foot outside.
I just do it because it's comfortable. I don't know. And I like the breeze. Whatever. What can I say?
But it's illegal, right? I mean, you can get pulled over for that.
I did get pulled over for it, as I told you before.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah. It was
way.
It was in Nebraska a long time ago. Cops don't really have much else to do out there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you're not supposed to put your foot on the dashboard.
I know, but we're on the open road in Nebraska. Come on.
I know. I actually ended up getting arrested for that because I didn't pay the ticket. I didn't think it counted as a state, so. Minor detail.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, do we have one of her songs lined up?
Yeah, we've got a few. So let's ask you a little bit about your music.
Okay.
Do you write your own songs?
I do. I write all my own songs. My guitar player, Larry Marciano, he, on this record that you have, he recorded and produced all the songs. So he is playing a lot of the instruments, and he did a lot of the arrangements in terms of, like, guitar harmonies and the bass parts and all that stuff. But I wrote all the songs and the lyrics and the melodies, and I'm doing all the harmonies on the record as
really?
Well.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And this record was released in December of 2006, and I'm actually starting my new record this Wednesday. So
nice.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. How old are you? I mean, have you been doing this for a long time?
I've been, you know, I got a guitar when I was 20. I was in college, and I didn't even ask for it. It was just a gift.
Really?
And it was just like meant to be. Like I just started.
Yeah. That's kind of late starting an instrument,
right?
It is.
It's very late. It is. Yeah. It's very late. Especially but, like today, everyone I meet is like 12 and they've already got their first single on the radio, you know? But, you know, everyone's, you know, journey is different and it's different for everyone in terms of, you know, when you find your calling,
mm-hmm.
you know, in life. And I, you know, it was up to my ears in student loans when yeah, I found mine. It had nothing to do with my degree.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm 26 and I just fell into this. I never knew I wanted to be on radio. And then I was like, hey, it's awesome.
There you go. And you never know because my degree's in radio.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I want to announce to everyone that Kelly's actually going to join the station and she's going to do her own show. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what you're planning to do with your show. Have you thought about it?
My game plan. I've been thinking a lot about it. I've been on the road, on and off the road for the past 2 weeks. So it's been really busy. I've been touring with an artist from Ireland, and his name's Kian Walsh, and he went back to Ireland, and I'm back in LA for a while now. So I've been thinking about the show, and I noticed that y'all don't have a music program, and I was blown away. We're in the mecca of.
Well, we do have one or two, but you probably didn't notice it. But it's not like what you were describing. You want to do
right? My goal as an independent artist, and the music industry has changed so much, and it's. Better and for better and for worse for the independent artist. It's really enabled independent artists to, you know, be in business for themselves, you know, and be their own manager, be their own booking, be their own label. And it used to not be like that at all. However, we used to be taken care of and not have to do everything ourselves.
Yeah.
But anyway, so my program, my idea is geared toward independent artists and, you know, just educating people on how the music industry's changed and helping other artists, you know, promote themselves, promote their music, their shows, and, you know, bringing people on to educate, you know, everyone who's interested in the music industry and what's really going on now, because it's constantly changing. It's changed so much.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it has, you know, with the downloading on the internet and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, shit, you know, Tower Records closed down, and that was like a landmark, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they closed them all down, which is depressing.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't stop progress, you know, and
got to roll with the times.
Yeah, there you go. I liked what you said because it's the exact line I say. We're all here on a different journey,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yes.
So you can't look at other people and go, oh, why do they have this and I don't or this? Because you're on a different friggin' journey, you know.
Yeah.
They're going to Australia. You're going to Europe, you know.
Yep.
You can't possibly be on the same plane.
Right, you know? Right. And with this show, you know, my goal as well is to help artists in my community that I believe in that and that I'm a fan of, you know, and help people – you know, it helps get them exposure and people to learn about them, and you know,
that's really exciting. That's great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That's
about
awesome.
It. It's
yeah,
be good.
And I think a lot of people would be interested in that because obviously, you know, people come to LA, they want to start their career and everything.
Yeah,
and this is a good way to let people know how to go about it. And
I
stuff,
mean, if you
know?
Put that you are on LA Talk Radio on your resume, you are fucking. I mean. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
You're
forget
straight to the top.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Straight to the top.
That's right.
That's awesome. Yeah. So you always wanted to get to broadcasting and stuff?
You know, I developed an interest in broadcasting in college. I was dating a guy, of course, who was a broadcasting major. And he was one of those guys that, like, wants everyone to believe and feel what he believes and feels about everything. Mm-hmm. And,
He caught you.
I agreed with him a lot, especially with radio. Yeah, he got me in radio, but he didn't get me with the Cowboys.
Ah.
I am a diehard Redskins fan, so I never went to the other side. But but he did get me with radio, and I totally fell in love with it, you know, making commercials. And we did, you know, TV aspect of it as well, creating commercials and stuff. And it was just, I had a ball.
Cool.
I had a ball.
Cool. So you write your songs with your guitar, right?
I do.
The melody?
I play acoustic guitar, and I write my songs on my guitar. And I do have I play solo, and I also have a band that plays with me.
Mm.
So it's just kind of, you know, my discretion. You know, I feel out the gigs if it's a band situation or just me and guitar. But when I tour, I usually tour just me and guitar.
Oh, cool,
yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's get into a couple of the songs because we don't have that much time left.
Okay.
We have about 10 minutes, and I do want to get a couple songs in.
Okay.
Which one should we go with?
We can play the first one. The first track is called Simple as Devon.
Okay.
And I wrote this song in Nashville in like 20 minutes. It just was one of those that's...
Really?
Yeah, it's like God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, here you go. I love those. You don't have to like think about it. And it's just the whole thing was written.
Yeah, cool. Okay, let's listen to Kelly McGrath. Whoop. From your album, Fingerprints.
Fingerprints. Yeah. And it's on iTunes. And
yeah?
Yeah.
I am simple as the sea. There's a million wonders underneath. Your couple daisies made me smile. Sometimes simple is divine. Sometimes simple. Find the passion in a gray sky with another heartbeat on a rainy night. It's the kind of beauty that doesn't try. It's sweetly simple and so long.
Cool. I like how it starts slow. It's like kind of an inspirational song, huh?
I call it my me song because it's just when I wrote it, I was just writing it about myself. Like if I could write a song that just kind of described me and what I'm about and and women, kind of, you know, how some women are can appear to be really simple and it's the simple things. You know, they're not super high maintenance. And they're not too complicated, but they really are underneath. All women are complicated.
Oh, yeah? So you're high maintenance.
No. Do I look high maintenance to you?
Everybody else except you, right?
Well, your voice is stunning. Yes. Absolutely stunning. Oh, my God. I'm in love with it. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
It's really cool. Well, definitely, if you give us permission, we'll play your songs on the station and stuff.
Absolutely.
We play music between shows and that, so that'll be awesome.
Okay, great.
What's another one real quick that we should play?
Wonder. I think it's number...
Wonder. This doesn't have a list of the songs on it, does it?
Oh, it's on the CD. You know what? I think it's number...
Oh, it's on the CD?
Four?
Number four. Let's try number four and see what
Maybe
we get
three.
Here. Okay.
Yes! That was right.
Cool. Is that you playing the guitar here? No.
I wish. I'm getting there.
You sound a little bit like Jewel sometimes.
I've gotten that.
Sometimes I wonder about the things I know for sure. Like at the end of the story, could there be more? We never know what's headed for your heart around the bend. Mine was scattered in pieces in a graveyard. And I opened my eyes. I was taken by your surprise. Oh, yeah.
This is awesome, man.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Where do I get a copy?
That's yours, girl.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's like kind of a feel good. Music,
yeah,
you know?
This is kind of like the vibey.
Yeah.
If I were stuck in traffic and I was listening to this, I would just be like, la, da, 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 da.
Aww, that's awesome.
Rocking out, having a good time, you saying fuck you to the world.
Peace and love. This song was actually, I had it placed in a film last summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was chosen for it. It's a film called Strictly Sexual. Mm-hmm. It's not a porn.
Ooh.
Not a porn, but close.
Tell my mom that it's not a porn, Mom. But I had this song, and then I wrote a song for a specific scene in the film as well.
Nice.
But I didn't know that they had chosen. I knew that they were considering it, but I didn't know that they used it.
Really?
And so we were at the premiere in the theater watching. I had my manager beside me, and we're watching. And then I heard the music come on. I was like, oh, this is it. This is it. And it, I thought it was the other song.
Yeah.
And it was Wonder. And I was like, oh. I just looked at him. I was like,
oh, that's so awesome.
And he was like, you didn't know? I was like, no. I'm like freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm looking at everyone. So he knew and he didn't tell you, and he kind of let it be a surprise, or?
No, he thought I knew.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
It was like really, like everyone really thought that I, like the director and everyone thought I knew, and I totally didn't. I was so surprised. I was like freaking out.
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
Well, our time is just about up. I want you to plug your website, your MySpace,
okay,
all that, so people can find you.
Okay.
And you might have to come back, or we'll just have to wait for your show to start.
I would love to come back.
Yeah, I mean, and next time,
yeah,
leave home a little earlier.
Yeah, well, I gave myself an hour.
No, an hour is not enough. No, not when you have to find parking,
like,
you know.
If you MapQuest it, it's like 10 miles.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But here you measure distances by time, not by distance.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I know. It's nature of the beast.
But, yeah, there you go. But yeah, so you love L.A.? You like being
here? I love L.A. I mean, you know, it's the jungle. Like Guns N' Roses said, it is the jungle.
Yeah.
But I love it. You know, I'm a surf girl.
Oh, are you really?
Surf. Yeah, so wow. I love surfing. And I
not
love
much surfing in Nashville, though.
Not much surfing in California unless it's on the river. But yeah, I love it. You know, it's different, but different's good. I love change. So.
Yeah. Cool.
And people can find me on MySpace. It's just my name, mm-hmm. Kelly McGrath, KellyMcGrath, like Mark mm-hmm. McGrath or Jeremy.
Yeah.
Or Kelly.
Or Kelly McGrath. Yeah. So, and you can buy my CD on my website, or I'm on iTunes or Amazon, Snowcap, Amy Street. So
really?
Many digital distribution.
Wow.
Yeah, websites.
Good
out
for
there.
You. So you've done your homework and everything.
Oh, yeah. And CD Baby. I'm also on CD Baby. And I play a residency I have for the past year and a half at the Cat Club.
I was just there Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just put in a whole new sound system a couple months ago. And honestly, I think it's one of the best sound rooms in L.A.
Oh, really?
People don't realize it because it used to be so bad. But it's so great. The sound is amazing in there. And it's right next door to the Whiskey Go-Go, right across the street from
Hustler.
The Hustler.
Yeah. So when are you going to be there next?
The third Tuesday of every month at 8:30, I'm there with my band. Full band's there. And so the 16th, September 16th, will be my next show there. And that's actually my next gig. So
oh, wonderful.
8:30 at the Cat Club.
8:30 on the 26th, did you say?
No, the 16th.
The 16th. Mm-hmm.
And that's a Tuesday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See what a great
cool.
memory I have, Susie. It's amazing. It's just amazing. Those feats I pull, I'm telling you. But, okay, so, well, get her CD. It's called Fingerprints by Kelly McGrath.
Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. I'm going to rock out.
Yeah, and we're definitely going to play this music here on the station, you know, so it's awesome.
Yeah, you're so
And look forward to, Kelly, you're going to start this coming Sunday?
This Sunday at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock.
And, at night?
Yeah.
How come she gets the night
p.m.
show?
Aww.
I'm not a morning person, so I've always been giving him shit.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Morning radio is the bomb.
I know, okay. I know. I'm getting into it.
All right, very good.
I don't have a name yet, though, and I had a couple ideas for the name of the show.
Okay.
Maybe you guys...
Well, we don't really have the time for it, sweetie.
Don't?
No.
Okay.
No, they're waiting for the next show.
Okay.
Yeah, think about it. We can talk about it afterwards or something.
Okay.
Okay? Or do you want to put the names out there?
Well, there's just three.
Okay.
I have The Music Evolution Revolution.
I like the ring to that.
Yeah. Or The Sounds of Music.
Not very original.
Or After School of Rock Special.
Oh. Okay.
It's like in the evening.
We're going to have to talk about these names.
I like the first one.
The Music Evolution Revolution.
Yeah, yes, I think so, because you kind of want people to get the feel of what the show is about.
That's what
you
it
know?
Is about, the evolution of music, and, you know, it's like the independent
artist
revolution.
The first one's perfect.
Sounds
right
good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I like that.
Okay.
Cool.
Great. So that's Kelly McGrath. Look for her Sunday nights at 7, and she's going to be starting this coming Sunday. And, of course, stay tuned for Alan Cardoza with his show with Dr. Michelle, an awesome show, I know. And you can find Susie at SusieRally.com or on Facebook. I sent you a friend request, by the way, last night. So,
oh.
Yeah. Well, I found you on Facebook, believe
it
or not.
So we'll make it official.
Yes.
He's a Facebook stalker.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for having me. I really
appreciate
and
I'm really
it.
Sorry you came late because we didn't get much time with you. But
I know.
But we'll have you come in again, you know.
Yeah.
You work kind of close, right? You told
me.
Yeah, that's amazing. So we'll have you come some other time.
Yeah,
too.
I will, for
Wonderful.
Sure.
Wonderful. Okay, Kayla McGrath. Susie, thanks a lot, my friend.
You too, my darling.
Thanks for being here.
See you in the morning, and I won't be late.
You won't be late.
I won't be late.
Okay, thank you. And everybody, we'll see you tomorrow. I do want to remind you, Susie, you probably don't remember either, but next week from Tuesday till Friday, we're not going to have a live show.
Okay.
So so you'll be able to take some time off if you want.
Ah, excellent.
All right. Okay, everybody, stay tuned, and we'll be back tomorrow. Have a great one.